State Senate Republican President Len Fasano was just beside himself. He was tremendous yesterday. Could run for governor. I wouldn't be surprised. Right, Dan?
Well, he's got you running, Senator.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. How are we doing today?
How are you doing?
Yeah, that's the question, Senator.
You know, really very, very disappointed. last night, in the heat of battle, I think that I didn't have time to reflect. But I really thought that Senator Hartley and Senator Doyle were going to do the right thing and vote against this union deal. And the beginning of the day, it clearly seemed like they didn't have the votes. They delayed it. The governor showed up. The attorney general showed up. There was a lot of conversations. There were a lot of closed-door meetings. And lo and behold, at about 3 o'clock, 3:30, I was told that it would be an 18-18 tie. I was told in confidence, so I kept it in confidence, and then let the rest of the debate play out. But I was very, very disappointed. And this morning, as I reflect upon where that puts this state, I'm very nervous about how they're going to do a budget, who's going to get hurt in the budget, because someone's going to get hurt in this budget. You cannot balance. I know the numbers fairly well. You cannot do this budget without either raising the sales tax, which is going to hurt every middle-income, low-income person, or funding municipalities less, which is going to raise property taxes, and or cutting social services. They took more than a third of the budget out of play. And my argument last night was, don't do that. Vote no. You could always statutorily put the deal back, so there's no harm. But, you know, the politics and power showed its ugly head yesterday, not caring for people, and that's a problem.
Wow. Senator Len Fasano, in our Touchpoints Rehab interview, Chair, Senator, what do you think was done? How do you think Hartley and Schlossberg and Doyle were lobbied in order to make them perhaps change their votes?
First of all, they came out with this list that they said, we want to see all this list in the budget. And it is the most, with all due respect to them, it doesn't make any sense. They're saying, I'm voting for a contract, CBAC, that's going to go to 2027.
But that's the key.
Sorry?
I said, that's the key.
But after this, they say, no CBAC agreement should go more than 4 years. So I'm going to vote for a 10-year deal and put in my demands, we should never do it more than 4 years. How does it make any sense? I'm going to vote for a 10-year deal that allows overtime to be included in pensions. But after this vote, we better not do that anymore. How does that make any sense?
It doesn't.
I'm going to vote for
all
a 10-year deal. But
terrible.
After this 10 years, no more COLAs and pensions. We're going to do them by statute. Why not do all those things now? It just shows the lunacy and the safe face that they needed to do since they were out there saying that this is not a good deal. And then they had to figure out, how do I go from a no vote to a yes vote? I'll put out these demands, which are really lame, and vote yes, cover my vote, saying, but I demand all these changes. And it's really, really sad. And what happens? It's called politics. And we got to put that away. And you've got to do what's right for this state. Look, I think there are ways to achieve all sorts of goals that the rank and file membership wants. And in our budget, we were protecting those union members making 50, 60, 70,000, which is the bulk of them. The deal that went through last night doesn't protect them as much as it protects the union bosses, the union negotiators, the stewards, the different officers of the unions, because when you read that agreement, they get more time off to do union negotiating. They get thousands of hours added to go take time off from working for the state to do union.
And still paid for by the state, right?
And still paid for by the state, and their job is covered by a lower-paying employee. They even get officers within unions get super priority. So if they're layoffs, they get to bump. If I am a union vice president or whatever of a union or some official title, And Dan, let's say that you've been there longer than me. I've only been there 10 years. You're in there 20 years. I have super priority. So when I go to your division, I could boot you out of your spot. That's how they protect each other.
Boy.
And you think the lower level union members would get that this deal favored them. That's what this was about. So I'm saying this is power and politics at all level, not about people. And we've got to stop this.
This has gone on and on and on, and 27 is the magic number. How in God's
2027,
name?
2027.
That's what I meant. 2027, yeah. And God knows how this is going to hurt the middle class, as you just said.
If you do a sales tax like they're suggesting, greater than 6.35, which is the current rate, they want to go to 6.99. That is going to hurt businesses. Then they want to do another sales tax of 1% for restaurants and bars. Like, you know, why are they so special that they get treated that way? So you're going to add all this tax at that level, kill our sales retail economy in Connecticut. People who have the malls in Danbury, folks from New York are not going to go to Danbury anymore. They're going to turn around and go someplace else, maybe to White Plains, Westchester, to go do their, because why should they pay more? And it is going to hurt the middle and lower income buy goods and services all day long. But they don't care.
Yep.
They don't
care. That's what it's going to do.
They don't even have an idea. They knew this deal in their mind was going to go forward. And here we are, August 1st, and the Democrats have failed to put out a budget. Anywhere close to a budget. From February till now, they talk about putting out a budget. They talk about having a budget. They don't have a budget. So how do they know they can even balance this thing? And if they do, who are they hurting? They don't even have a clue. And you know what? They don't care.
Senator, and by the way, I watched your speech on the floor last night. Very eloquent. And I honestly believe that most of the Democrats in that chamber who were sitting there as you were speaking knew that you were telling the truth. But they're so beholden to union interests that they had to vote the other way. I don't know how you feel, but I really believe that they knew in their heart you were telling the truth, Senator.
I think they did, too. And, you know, let me just say this. Back in 2011, when they did this deal, the chief union negotiator said things like, which I used on the floor, if you heard the speech that you said reviewed, said to have a deal that's 11 years, now this year, it's 10 years, but whatever, is unheard of in this country. No one else has 11-year, call it 10-year, pension and health care agreement. No one else in the country. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
No one else does because it's absurd. You know, I looked up collective bargaining agreements lengths. Anybody have a 10-year or better collective bargaining agreement? And there's only one that I found in the country, and that was with the NFL.
That's right. That's right, the NFL. Yeah.
Right? You have a 5-year one, I think, at the NBA and a 7-year one at baseball.
Yeah.
But nobody has a 10-year. First of all, we're the one of only 46 states. There's four states in total who do their pensions through collective bargaining. That's all. And we're one of those four.
Senator, was Lieutenant Governor Wyman right to go after Senator Logan after he made the comments he made? What are your thoughts on that?
I was out of the chamber, and I heard Senator Looney raise the point, and I came in, and I then went back and listened to what Senator Logan said. And I would have, had I been able to, I was studying other things, but had I been in the chamber, I would have fought back. You cannot impair the integrity or challenge the intent of a vote. But where you say that the unions have a grip over this chamber, I would argue that that is okay. You're not challenging the intent of which they vote. You challenge the heavy-handedness for which the unions used in that chamber. That is not an insinuation. That's a fact. So had I been in the chamber, I just got there too late and I wasn't able to get brought up to speed and she had made a ruling. Had I been there, I would have kicked back and said there is nothing wrong with Senator Logan saying this. She would have ruled me out of order, but I don't really care, to protect her own interest. But I would have kicked that back. Absolutely.
But number one, I could not understand how this happened. I really couldn't. I can't believe it. I said, am I in a communist country? Seriously.
No, it is true. It is true. You know, they have no problem sitting up and saying that Republicans protect the wealthy companies. Oh, so can we argue that that is out of order? If you make that accusation, which they make plenty of times, from now on they won't make it, I'll guarantee you that. But if we can't say the union has control over a certain segment of that, of our membership in the Senate, which is true, which is true. Look, there's one senator there who sits in that chamber who is paid by $11.99. You don't think he has somewhat controlled by the union? There's another member who is a lifelong member of the union, is continuing to be a member of the union, used to be a union negotiator. You don't think they have union interest? Look at what happens with these campaigns. So when you look at all those things, I think that was fair game. Senator Logan was a rookie. I was out of the chamber, so I didn't hear it. But I would have stood up and defended. I would have had fun with it at the very least.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, Senator, thanks very much for illuminating all of this for our audience this morning.
And thanks for coming on so often, too.
We appreciate that, Senator.
It is my privilege. Thank you guys so much.
You